was watching Kobe with his dog there. And you know what? That dog follows Kobe everywhere. And he does exactly what Kobe tells him. Pretty much, though. And if he does something wrong and you yell at him or give him a swat, he feels bad, doesn't he? And, you know, it's a pretty cool thing, and it's a pretty cool example, because Jesus Christ was obedient to God, but he was obedient to God in everything and in every way. And that's a great example to us, that we should be obedient to God's word and to Jesus Christ. I want you to go to 1 John, Gospel, Epistle of 1 John, and chapter 4. And verse 14, it says, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." So this tells us something about Jesus Christ, right? It tells us that he is the Savior of the world. Now, that doesn't mean he's a Savior. You know, he's not a he's not an environmentalist. You know, he's going to take care of all the air pollution and stuff. But he's the Savior of what? People. The people in the world. Anybody that will confess. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Everybody knows it, but we'll go there anyway. Yeah. Okay, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what?
Saved.
Saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Okay, so we saw that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, and those that believe that he is Lord, confess that he is Lord, and believe in their hearts that he was raised from the dead, are saved, right? So we have three words we're looking at. We have the word Savior, we have the word saved, and we have the word salvation. Okay? They all come from the same root word. The word for save is the word sozo, which means to make whole, right? Make whole or deliver, save. And then we have the word salvation. That's a form of the word sozo. It's soteria. Right? Soteria, and that means salvation. It can mean deliverance. It can mean wholeness. And then we have the word Savior, which is soter. And, you know, what is a Savior? He's one that saves, right? He's a saver. I saw a sign once that said, "Jesus saves, Moses invests." It was a joke. Okay. Jesus Christ is the Savior. He's the one that makes whole. He's the one that delivers. That is God. That is how God figured it all out. That's how God set it up. He sent a Savior. Why? Because we needed one. Because we couldn't do it on our own. Every other religion, every other way of life, every other belief, it's the responsibility is on the person to work at it and to earn it. And you know what the problem is? You can't. You can't ever be good enough. You know, some religions, you know, you live your life, and if you're good enough, you die, you come back, and you go to a higher level. But you know what's lousy? If you have a bad life, you go to a lower level. So you could be stuck in there for, you know, a couple of 100,000 years. Who knows? Back and forth. I'm back to being a cricket. Darn it. I'm a rat again. Yeah, other things, you know, you have to do other things. You have to earn it. But with Jesus Christ, all you have to do is what? Believe. Confess and believe. What a great thing. He's the Savior. He did all the hard work, and all we do is believe. And then from there, we just obey God and do what he tells us, and we get blessed. Let's go to Acts chapter 13. Jesus Christ is the Savior. He made us whole. He gave us the deliverance. Chapter 13, verse 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David. This is Peter, and he's speaking to some people, and he's talking about David and how Saul got removed from being king, right? So God, when he had removed Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony or witness, and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. See, he was a Savior, Jesus, and he was raised first unto Israel, according to the promise that God made to David, which was according to the promise that he made previously to Abraham. Okay, and then verse 24, and when John had first preached before his coming, that would be John the Baptist, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye I am? I am not he, meaning I am not the promised Messiah. I am not the one you've been looking for. I'm not the Savior. Okay, I'm not he. But behold, there cometh one after me whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is this word, is the word of this salvation sent. You know, so we're the whosoever, right? We're not of Israel, but we're the whosoever. Whosoever. It says, and whosoever among you that feareth, that respecteth God, which implies, you know, you have this awe and respect that you believe God, to you is this word of salvation sent. That salvation, the word of salvation was what? It was the promise of the coming Messiah, the promise of a Savior to all mankind. That's what it's all about. That's what everything in the history of God's word revolves around. This, the promise of the Savior coming, his accomplishments, his resurrection, his ascension, and then those that believe on him who then have Christ in them, and then the gathering. You know, it all revolves around Jesus Christ. Everything's about the Savior. And the Savior is the one that brought us salvation, that brought us wholeness, that brought us deliverance. What a great thing. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Lord there refers to Jesus Christ. But be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling. Well, here it says that God saved us, right? But it's going to go on and explain it. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, not according to what you do, how good a life you lead, not according to what you earn, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began or before the ages of time, but is now made manifest. It's made known, it's made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, and it should read Christ Jesus, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. See, God was the Savior, and he sent our Savior to save us. You know, it's like if I was drowning and somebody threw me a life preserver. Well, the life preserver saves me, but the guy that threw it was the Savior, right? Well, God sent us, through us, a life preserver, Jesus Christ. He's the one that delivered us. He's the one that did the actual saving. God sent him, and then he did the work. What a cool thing. And he hath abolished death. He made eternal life available. And hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Through the gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ. Through what we know, how God sent him to pay the price for us, fulfilled all the Old Testament law and all the Old Testament prophecies, and fulfilled all the law, all the sacrifices, everything, so that we could have eternal life, so that we lack nothing spiritually before God. You know, one of the great things in the manifestations that was emphasized is how much God loves us. And, you know, if there's a great failing of God's people is sometimes we doubt that God loves us. You know, we doubt that he could love, you know, we don't think we're good enough, or we make mistakes and we think, oh, I'm screwed now, and that's not true at all, is it? God forgives us for everything. He loves us so far beyond what we could ever imagine that it's ridiculous. It's beyond our imagination how much he loves us and cares for us. And all he wants for us is to be blessed. And the way we get blessed is by doing what he says, by living his word to the best of our ability. Let's go to Acts. So he gave us all this, but he also gave us power and authority in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's look at Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Verse 1. Okay, it says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. He asked on his meetings. He was asking for help, mercy. He was asking for help. One of the things we learn in Orientalisms is that people would go certain places to be healed if they had a physical need. One of them would be along the roadside, hoping that a man of God would pass by and seeing them, he would bless them, heal them. Another place would be by the waters. Like, remember the guy by the pool of Siloam, or the blind man, he said, go wash and come seeing. You know, they would go to the waters. They still do that in eastern places today by the rivers. They believe that there's healing there, or that holy men will come and heal them. And the other place would be at the gate of the temple, or holy places, where again, they would hope to have somebody pass by who was a holy man who would heal them. Here in this case, it's the temple in Jerusalem, and this guy was laid daily at the temple gate looking for deliverance. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. He expected to receive something. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, Jesus Christ wasn't there, was he? But Peter was, and John was, and they had Christ in them. And because they had Christ in them, they had the power and the authority. And when God told them to speak those words, when they listened to that revelation, they could minister to that man, and he rose up and walked. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now, you know what? If you go back and read in the Gospels, how many times did Jesus Christ go into the temple? Numerous times. That man was laid at the temple gate, daily. He was laid there daily, and he had been lame from his mother's womb, it tells us, and he was above 40 years old. So he was there when Jesus came all those times. Why didn't Jesus Christ raise him up and heal him? I don't know. Ask God. But God did not give him the revelation, did he? He gave it to Peter and John. Now, you could say, well, you know, you could make all kinds of excuses or speculate, but the simple answer is God didn't tell Jesus Christ to heal him. He waited until Peter and John came. And if you didn't have that revelation, you know, it wouldn't work so well. So immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. That means it was a miraculous healing. And leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. You know, if you hurt your leg, did you, anybody here ever break a leg or an ankle? Yeah, you can't just get up and start walking right away, right? You got to rehab. You got to build up the strength. You got to learn to balance again. You know, you don't just receive strength and walk. It takes time. This guy immediately never had walked in his life. At least if you broke your leg, you had walked before. You know kind of what to do and how to do it. This guy had never walked, ever. And he immediately received strength and immediately got up and leaped and walked. That's a miracle. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Let's jump down to chapter 4. So he was healed what? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Chapter 4, verse 1, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. And being grieved, they that taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. You know, this is incredible, because they preached the resurrection from the dead. Everything relies on, everything is dependent upon Jesus Christ rising from the dead, being resurrected. You know, Muhammad did not rise from the dead. Siddhartha, he's the guy that started, what is it, Buddhism? He didn't rise from the dead. Is it Buddhism? You know that stuff, Buddhism. He didn't rise from the dead. Buddha didn't rise from the dead. You know, none of these guys raised from the dead. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. He conquered death. He conquered death, which is the biggest problem that mankind has, isn't it? We're all going to die unless he returns. But if you have Holy Spirit, when he comes back, if you're alive, you'll be changed. And if you're dead, you'll be raised with a new body. What a great thing. That's the key. You know, we have eternal life. And it's guaranteed. Once you get Holy Spirit and you can speak in tongues, it's guaranteed. You know that you know that you know that you know. It's absolute proof. It's guaranteed. It's better than a written contract. It's better than anything, any proof that you could have. And they laid hands on them and put them in. Okay, so the high priests were grieved that they taught the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold. They put them in prison unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. Wow. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, you know, we say, well, that doesn't happen today. Here's a girl down in Tennessee, Barbara, what's her name? Suge, yeah, Barbara Suge. I was thinking for a maiden name, Barbara Rule. She was in the Corps with me. She was in the. She grew up in Zaire, which is the Congo today, and her parents were missionaries. So she was in the Corps, and she was going home for Christmas, and there was this African guy online in the airport, and she witnessed to him, and the guy believed, and then he took the class on Power for Abundant Living, and then, like, in a year or two, 30,000 people believed in Zaire. 30,000 people, some of you guys remember that. When I got ordained, I was next to that guy. It was pretty cool. Yeah. So that can happen. All we have to do is open our mouths. All we have to do is be bold in speaking the word, be confident in what we know. And we know the truth. You know, many of you were brought up in religions and churches and all kinds of things. And, you know, you don't get that truth unless somebody teaches you the rightly divided word, right? The rightly divided word from God's word in the Bible. And that's what sets people free. Not religion, not rituals and not ceremonies, but the truth. That's what set this guy free when he leaped and walked. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and the scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and many as were kindred of the high priest were gathered together in Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. And that's that word, you know, for being saved. He's made whole. Sozo, delivered. Saved. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Jesus Christ, right? That's what it says. He's the chief cornerstone of the church. Neither is there salvation. There is not salvation, deliverance, wholeness in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's it. That's it. Let's go to Ephesians. It's the name of Jesus Christ. At the end of chapter 1 of Ephesians, it says in verse 18, the eyes of your understanding, or the eyes of your heart, is what it reads, being enlightened that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance. In the saints, he wants us to know. He wants us to understand what we have. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? You know, that's almost, again, hard to comprehend, the exceeding greatness of his power. He wants us to know the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. Believe what? Well, first of all, we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and then we believe God's word, right? We believe the promises. We believe what he tells us. And then we have that power, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. How much power does it take to raise somebody from the dead? You know, not just, you know, resuscitate them or revive them, but raise them from the dead. It's the difference. Far above, okay, and he set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. He set Jesus Christ at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Jesus Christ is over everything. He has dominion over everything. He has authority over everything. Nothing can stand up to his position. Not only in this world, that's right now, right? In this world that we live in, but also in that which is to come in the future. And hath put all things under his feet. You know, when it says that, what does it mean? If everything is under his feet, it's under him. He has dominion and authority and power over it. It's under his feet. These boots are made for walking. Got to be old to know that. Okay. It was a song in the 60s. Okay. God put all things under his, Jesus Christ's feet. He put all things under his dominion, under his authority, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So if we're part of the body, even if you're the heel or the sole of his feet, it still means everything is under you, right? Because he has given us the authority and power to live in this life. That's what it just said. You know, Jesus Christ is the Savior. And we are saved. And we have the fullness of that deliverance. We have the fullness of that salvation. And it's just our opportunity, our privilege, our honor to believe it and live it to the fullest. And, you know, that should be a never-ending desire and goal to just get better and better at believing God and living life according to God's word to the fullest, to seeing that power and authority and dominion in your life, to see that salvation time and time again. And what it takes is very simple. It's you put the word of God into your brain, into your mind, and you keep it there, and you don't give in on the promises of God, right? All things are possible to him that believeth. All things according to God's word, right? Everything is possible to him that believeth. And when you have Holy Spirit within you, you have the absolute proof. You have the guarantee. You have the God's seal of approval and proof that you're going to heaven and nothing can stop you. And you have his power and authority in this life as you walk. And the devil has no more claim on you whatsoever, not even the slightest bit, because Jesus Christ paid the full and complete price. He's the Savior, and we're saved. Amen.